Ladies and gentlemen, for the 200th time... we present The Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyman and George Evans, and starring Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips. What everyone likes to do is to get away from it all. The trouble with HMS Trifbridge is that they take it all with them. And what's even worse, they usually bring it all back again. Well, Trifbridge is certainly getting away from it all this time, and the all that they're taking with them is Sir Willoughby and Lady Todhunter Brown.
Don't fight it, Chief. I can never say it myself. Why my pater couldn't christen me Bert Smith, I'll never know.
Well, we'll be docking in Shanghai in 10 minutes, your lord, ladyships and burps. So, if you'll kindly prepare your honourable personages for stepping ashore and pop up to the poop deck and have a peep, we'll pop you over the port side to meet the people.
Port side? I thought we were going to Shanghai.
Oh, take no notice, Chief. She'll never know the difference.
Well, let's face it, sir. They're both foreign parts, eh? And as the Chinese so wittily say, sir, bon chance.
Now, just a minute, Willie. Don't rush me. Hmm? I'm sorting out my luggage. Let's see. These three suitcases can go through the porthole.
What? Those cases cost a fortune.
Possibly, but they're utterly useless now. I mean, they're full of empties.
Oh.
I can only imagine that something either leaked or evaporated.
Oh, never mind. Never mind the suitcases. Have you got my speech ready?
But of course.
Well, where is it?
Well, but that's another question. That was the first thing that went through the porthole.
Oh, Lord, not again. Look, last time you made a paper dart out of his speech and threw it at the poor swine on the platform who's trying to introduce me. Then you yell, whoops, one of our aircraft is missing.
Wait. Wait, panic over. I found your speech.
Now, do come on, Amelia. Let's get up on deck and meet the locals. Go on.
Steady up that, Chief.
Steady that it is, sir.
Gosh, I am proud. I've never been to Shanghai before. I only hope we don't meet Dr. Fu Manchu.
Who?
No, not Fu Manhu, Fu Manchu. You must have heard of him. He's the chap who wanted to rule the world.
No, sir, no. A slight error, sir. That's Harry Secombe.
No, you must have heard of him. He's the Chinese chap who, through devilish and diabolical means, turns other chaps into zombies and makes them utterly brainless. I hope I don't ever meet him.
Well, in your case, sir, it wouldn't matter because nobody had noticed the difference.
We'd all assumed you'd met him years ago.
Oh, very funny, yes. Anybody would think I was a half-wit. I said anyone would think I was...
Stop bragging, Mr. Phillips. At best, you're a quarter-wit, and even that's on a good day.
I say, what are all those funny-looking boats coming towards us?
They're a load of junks. Yes, well, if they weren't junks before, they are now.
Well, why didn't they move out of the... Mr. Murray, why are you making those chalk marks on my chart table?
Oh, it's nothing. I'm just keeping a record. Each chalk mark represents a desperate Chinaman swimming for dear life because you've knocked him halfway up a paddy field without a chopstick.
Look out! That fellow over there.
Where?
Well, the one over there, sir, sitting on his sandpan, clutching the sides and looking consternated.
Where? I can't see him.
Yes, well, I'm not surprised, sir. As he floats past, let's hope he misses our propeller. Or he's likely to become an astonished Chinese member of the Luton Girls' Choir.
Perhaps Dr. Fu Manchu can solve his problem. That reminds me, as we're in Shanghai,
Lord, it's got to be here, the continuing story of Willow Patton Place.
No. This is a new one. I don't think you've heard it, but stop me if you have.
We've heard it.
You can't have done. I haven't started yet.
We've heard it.
Well, never mind about whether you've heard it. If you don't stop wasting time not laughing at my joke, you'll have hit it.
Hit it? Hit what?
Straight ahead. Look out.
Tommy, all right. I say, I wouldn't like to sail in that ship. It's got no sides. Just upright pillars. Must be jolly drafty.
Look, it isn't a ship, Mr. Phillips, sir. It's a floating dry dock.
Never mind what it is. Drive round it. We don't want to start an international incident.
Right, left hand down a bit.
Left hand down a bit, sir?
No, right hand up a bit.
Right hand up a bit, sir.
Wrong again. No, I'm not.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
Yes, sir.
Halt! No, I mean, sideways a bit the other way.
Sideways a bit the other way, sir?
To me.
To you!
From you.
From me, you.
Gosh, I am proud. I've missed it. Well, nearly. Sorry, pardon, Mr. Chinese junk gentleman. Anyone translate that?
Well, not word for word, sir, but I've a feeling it's one of the ruder thoughts of Chairman Mao.
Gentlemen, has anybody apart from myself noticed that there's absolutely nobody on the quayside to welcome Sir Willoughby Wallaby Diddly Dot?
Him on the poop deck?
Yeah, exactly. It does seem strange that there's no band, no crowd, no official reception for him on the poop deck. Don't like it.
Perhaps they'd forgotten that Sir Willoughby Wobbly and him on the poop deck are coming.
Never mind. Take her in and we'll sort the matter out when we've docked. There's still no one to meet us. Nobody anywhere. I don't like it.
Only that Chinese chap over there with his little cart. I do feel sorry for him, you know. He must have lost his horse. He's having to pull it himself.
It's not a cart without a horse, sir. It's a rickshaw.
Rickshaw?
I'm not only a rickshaw, I'm ricking certain, sir.
Right, I'm not waiting any longer. I'm going to start my welcome to Willie speech. If the fools aren't here, I'll start without them.
Willy-willy.
I'll do nothing of the sort. I floated all this way to make a speech, and the speech I'm going to make. Right, are you ready, you lot?
We've heard it, sir.
Well, I haven't. Right, off I go. Fellow Boilermakers, members of the Parent Teacher Association, ladies of the Egg Marketing Board, and gentlemen of the Women's Guild. I'm here today, and if you doubt this, look at the facts fairly and squarely from the umpire's point of view at the gasworks end. After all, how many of us, and in this day and permissive age, who wouldn't have a go? Given the opportunity. And that goes for my dear wife as well.
Bully for Willie.
And let us not forget the other. And that goes for my dear wife as well. And then again, if not, I hear you asking yourselves. Now I'm going to give you a solemn promise on a matter which only yesterday. No, my friend. This money for the mobile canteen must be raised by hook or by the time they're fourpence off at any branch.
What's he talking about, huh?
You never know.
In starting this 6-day bicycle race, in which children under 10 cannot be admitted until they're 9:30, I have never doubted that few of us would swap 2 packets. So send for your free ticket now. and by return you'll receive an entry into the common market.
Rah, rah, keep going, Willie. They're hanging on your every word.
Mr. Murray, sir. Mr. Murray, not wishing to interrupt, sir, him on the poop deck in the middle of his verbosities. What are all them nasty-looking army lorries full of nasty-looking army soldiers with nasty-looking army guns pulling up on the quayside for?
Perhaps, sir, him on the poop deck has to inspect them.
Oh, quiet, please. Willie's still chatting.
In the penalty box. So why shouldn't we double our pleasure and double our fun? And that goes for me dear wife as well.
Yeah, Mr. Murray, sir. But why are them nasty-looking army soldiers loading their nasty-looking army guns, kneeling on their nasty-looking army kneecaps and aiming at us for?
All of which reminds me of a funny story I once heard, and which completely escaped me. So here's the weather report after extra time. Right, I've finished. Carry on.
I think that might be a bit unwise, madam. Mr. Phillips, full speed ahead and get us out of here.
Pull ahead, both of you, sir. Yeah, you missed.
Rotten shots? No, they aren't. Nobody could hit us the way you navigate. Zigzag, zigzag.
That's funny. I usually go zag-zig.
Blimey, don't argue, Mr. Phillips. Here comes that floating dry dock again.
Gosh, no wonder that dry dock's drafty. It hasn't got a back or front either, only those pillars. Don't you worry, chaps. I'll sail right through the middle of them and out the other end.
You can't, sir. It isn't wide enough.
Nonsense. Leslie knows what he's doing. There's bags of room. On the other hand, Chief, you could be right. Our bonnet's jammed in the thing. I'll have to back us out.
No, you won't. There isn't time. We just have to carry on shunting the blasted thing out of here until we've time to get ourselves unhitched. Otherwise, we'd have to push it all the way back to Portsmouth. Wonder who owns it?
Yeah, probably those two Oriental gentlemen doing hop, skip and a geisha dance at the far end of it, sir.
Captain Purvey's office?
Hello, Missy. It is intelligent speaking.
I'd never have guessed.
That's what everybody says. Commander Bracewell wants to work with Captain Purvey.
I'll put him on straight away.
Now, hang on. How would you like a date this evening?
Oh, well, that's very nice of you.
Good. I'll send you a box book.
I'm putting Captain Purvey on the telephone now. Commander Bracewell from Intelligence for you, sir.
Oh, Lord, not that blasted idiot.
Yes, it is, old man. My word, that ship of yours has really done it this time. I know they're supposed to sail the seven seas, but they must be on the eighth one. They've completely disappeared.
But they can't have done. Even Mr. Phillips can't have lost his way navigating from here to the Isle of Wight.
Want a bet? The reception committee over there have been waiting for Sir Willoughby Tottot to Brown for a fortnight. Frankly, old man, they're getting a bit bored. Come and bid your size eight over this. Got a job lined up in Civvy Street yet?
But it's ridiculous. I can't be held responsible.
That's the style. Bags of panic. And it'll get worse. Up here in Whitehall, they reckon Troutbridge has done even better than the Marie Celeste. Not only have the crew and passengers vanished, but the ship has gone as well.
But they can't have vanished. They were only going to Shanklin.
Tell that to the VIP who's coming down. We're sending our best man, Vice Admiral Burwasher.
Oh, no, not him.
That's the one, Burbly Burwasher. He's so busy talking to himself, he's never time to talk to anybody else. Try and save your commission, old man, but I wouldn't give you four new pence for your chances. My regards to the Labour Exchange. Toodle bye.
No, wait. You haven't explained it. Oh.
Something wrong, sir? Nothing trivial, I hope.
No, it's certainly isn't. It's them as usual, Troutbridge. They've completely vanished.
Oh, cheer up, sir. They may not have sunk. They may have only been Shanghai.
Oh, don't be ridiculous, Ben Chasen. Who in his right mind would want a Shanghai? Shanklin? Shanghai? Shanghai? Shanklin? Oh, no, they can't have done.
No, I'll answer it, sir. It's Vice Admiral Burwasher, sir.
No, it can't be. I'm Vice Admiral Burwasher.
Yes, I know that, sir. Captain Purvey is expecting you.
Do sit down, Vice Admiral. I'm the wrench, and you'd better stay and take notes.
Aye, aye, sir.
Oh, thank you very much, yes. Thank you. This can't be right, Burwasher. She can't be Captain Purvey. She's a bird. Oh, well, never mind. It's a nice office and a comfortable chair. Now, come on, pull yourself together, Burwasher. Think, man, think. Now, why are you here? How did you get here? Ah, yes, I got that bit. Have you? Yes. You came in your car. Did I? Yes. That's why you're tired. Tired? Yes. Which reminds me, I've got to do something about that tire on the near side front before I get back to wherever I came from. This ball is that complete stranger sitting on the other side of the desk. Come along. Pull yourself together, Burwasher. That chap and the bird called Captain Purvey are looking at you. Come on. You'll have to say something. Ah, yes. Got it. Good morning.
Good morning, sir.
Yes, well, that should hold them for a bit. Now then, Burwasher, how are you going to get that tire? One tire takes 10 books of trading stamps, and you've only got 9. Yes, I know I have. Yes, I suppose the petrol for one book must average at least 1,000 miles of motoring, and you can't possibly do 1,000 miles on a bald tire, even to get a new one. What the hell are you going to do? I don't know. Well, you can't stay here for the rest of your life. Oh, I don't know. It's a nice office and a comfortable chair. Hello. Baldy and that bird called Captain Purvey are looking at you again. Watch it. Yes, I will. Yes, I thought you would. I knew that good morning wouldn't hold him for long. I'll have to think of something else. Come on, Burwasher, come on. Must be something else you could say. Yes, I know. Delighted to meet you.
Delighted to meet you, sir.
Not at all. That'll give me a breather. Goodness, talking of breathers, that reminds me. With air at 26 pounds a square inch all round, how am I going to get that extra book of stamps for the tire? Even if I risk motoring another 1,000 miles to get that tire, the other 3 would be as bold as that one. Hang on. They're looking at you again. Why can't they chat amongst themselves like you do?
As I understand it, you've come down here to investigate the disappearance of the frigate Troutbridge, and I do not admit any responsibility.
Stout fellow, very wise. Now, I'm glad we've got that completely cleared up.
This is the Sea Lord.
Just a moment, sir. Captain Purvey's the Sea Lord for you.
Captain Purvey speaking, sir, and I am saluting.
Snap, so am I. This is a random Dutch. NATO have reported sightings of an unidentified and strangely shaped battle cruiser off the coast of Ceylon. Obviously not friendly, as it's already rammed 2 American destroyers, 5 local fishing vessels, and a rowing boat.
Have you any idea to which nation this strangely shaped battle cruiser belongs?
No. I felt that as Troutbridge is in your flotilla, I should break the news to you personally that we think this unidentified, strangely shaped battle cruiser has sunk her.
What? But they were only going to Shanklin.
Oh, do get your knickers untwisted, Povey. They who have already recorded sighting Troutbridge on her way to Shanghai days ago. And we're holding you responsible for sending her there.
But I didn't.
No quibble. It'll all come out at your court-martial.
Oh, sir.
I'm warning you, Povey, we're not taking any chances. If this unidentified, strangely shaped battle cruiser sails very much nearer to England, as soon as she gets within the 12-mile limit, I'm ordering the home fleet to attack, destroy, and shell the thing out of existence. And damn the consequences, because they're all going to be yours.
No. Wait, you can't possibly...
Give my regards to the Labour Exchange. Goodbye.
Oh, this is awful. Vice Admiral Burwasher, yes. You'll believe me, don't you? I was overworked. I was too tired.
Yes, of course. Yes, should have thought of that myself. Yes, that man's got brains. 2 tires might do it, because the spare may be all right. No, that won't work. It still leaves him with only 3 tires. The man's a fool.
I had enough. I can't take any more.
frigates disappearing. Unidentified, strangely shaped battle cruisers appearing. Vice admirals talking gibberish to themselves. Sea lords blaming it all on me. It's not fair, I tell you, it's not fair. I want to go home to Mummy.
Very right and proper, too. Very right and proper. But before you go, have you got a book of trading stamps you could lend me?
Don't like it, Chief. I do not like it. Those spotter planes have been following us for days.
Oh, no, sir. They must have been sending reports back. Oh, let's face it, they'll never recognize who we are with this thing stuck on our bells.
Well, we've got to get rid of it. It's ridiculous. Surely we can shake the thing off somehow. We can't sail into Portsmouth with tons and tons of old iron stuck on the front. Especially with a Chinese flag on top of it. I thought you'd tell those two Chinese laborers we found on the floating dock to take it down.
They haven't had time, Mr. Murray, sir. Mr. Phillips has been too busy trying to teach them English.
What are their names?
I've no idea, sir. Mr. Phillips and I just call them Sweet and Sour.
Hello, you chap. Sorry to have been so long, but I've been teaching Sweet and Sour English. And now they're word perfect. Go on, ask them anything you like.
Mr. Chinese floating dock gentleman, I hope you've enjoyed your trip.
Ah, ding ho, mama ho ho, say ting ni ho ma. Ni ho ma ti ting ni. Oh, gosh, love it, chaps. It's been left hand down a bit all the way, chaps.
Akatawana, alahotohaki. Oh, nasty, chaps.
And hoist your cones over your fastnet, chaps.
Sexy swine.
One more time, chaps.
Gosh, lummy.
You see, what did I tell you? They're word perfect.
Yes, obviously, sir. And who nasty perfect as well? What baffles me, Mr. Phillips, says, how you get through to him? I mean, you can't speak Chinese.
Of course I can. It's simple. All you have to do is say, 2 portions of 76 and 1/2 portion of 53. And prawn balls in batter to you, too.
Very possibly, sir. But I still think you left him halfway up the chop suey without the paddy field.
No, never mind. It's useless trying to get through to them. How are we going to get that extra portion of rusty iron off our bows before it drives us Chinese crackers?
No problem. Why did you not ask us in beginning, chaps, gosh lummy?
Pardon?
Suggest what is required is sandbank. Is there, how you say, one at hand? Gosh, I am ploughed.
Well, the Goodwin Sands are on our starboard side, sir.
Suggest again, object of exercise is to get dry dock firmly wedged on sandbank, so that Trout Beach can separate by sending her engines backwards at full speed, thus pulling her away from dry dock.
I've never heard such a lot of old rope. It'll never work in a million years.
Have you got a better idea, sir?
Well, if you must know. No.
In that case, we'll try it. Hard a starboard and full ahead both. Run our front end into the sandbank as hard as you can, and good luck, everybody.
By all means, sir. Most kind. And if you ask me, it's... what's his name or bust?
Yeah, where's the sea lord? Because I'm here, ain't I?
Just a moment. Would you please wait in the outer office, Lord Quirk is busy.
Eh? You asking me to wait outside for a bit?
Oh, really, there is a time and place. He won't keep you long. He'll see you in a moment.
No, I won't. I'll see him now. Who is he?
Well, I'm the Director of Naval Expenditure, ain't I? Marvin Ellis is my name, ain't it? You dropped me in it, ain't you? Last up me bookkeeping proper, didn't you?
Sure, you're the Director of Naval Expenditure, Mr. Ellis.
I just said so, didn't I? I just been appointed, haven't I? Used to be a turf accountant, didn't I? Reckon I could sort you lot out, didn't I? But not if you go losing your boats, eh?
Admiral, good Admiral, good Admiral.
Good morning, Lord Lordship. Perhaps I could have a few sentences. If you could
Certainly, Commander Witherby. What did you want to see me about?
Concerning the disappearance of H.M.S. Troutbridge. I think you better read it yourself.
It'd be a flip this out quicker, wouldn't it? I mean, we'd get over it quicker, wouldn't we, eh? Hope you'll find your boat, though, don't I? Because my books are still up the creek, ain't I? And I'll never balance them, will I?
Gentlemen, this signal's extremely serious. We must now assume that Troutbridge has been sunk by the unidentified, strangely shaped battle cruiser, which is now very close to our shores. Aerial photographs suggest that it has a launching pad on the front of it, which we must assume will be used to launch its own atomic warheads against our kingdom. Therefore, I have no alternative but to order the home fleet to go and bob and blast the hell out of it.
Right. One more time should get us free. Brace yourself, chaps. This is it. Full of stun both.
Full of stun both, it is, sir. We've catapulted ourselves backwards 400 yards off the sandbank.
Gosh, I do feel proud. What a bit of luck we didn't go any further. We might have bashed into all those ships coming over the horizon.
Hmm? That's odd. Looks like the home fleet. Get us out of here.
Sandy, sir, but where to?
Chanting, you idiot, where we should have gone to in the first place.
Come on, Murray, sir. How are you going to explain to Captain Povey and above that we're ever so slightly 2 months adrift?
Well, we'll tell him we were around the back of the island waiting for Sir Wibbly Wobbly... Sir him on the poop deck to finish his speech.
Hello, you chaps. I gather we've arrived. I heard the 21-gun salute. Ah, where's my speech?
Oh, yes, here it is.
Right, off I go.
There he goes again.
Fellow Boilermakers. Members of the Parent Teachers Association.
Oh, shut up! We've heard it!
Stephen Murray, John Pertwee, and Leslie Phillips have been unraveling a Chinese puzzle in the Navy Lark, written by Lawrie Wyburn and George Evans. Stephen Murray was the CO, John Pertwee was the Chief Petty Officer, Leslie Phillips was the sub-lieutenant, Captain Pertwee was played by Richard Caldicott, Sir Willoughby Todhunter Brown was Daniel Evans, Lady Todhunter Brown was Heather Chasen, and Commander Bracewell was Michael Bates. The show was produced by Alistair Scott Johnston. ¶¶